Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us in person Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 o'clock in downtown Tulsa, or check out our webpage at tulsafbc.org. God bless you, and have a great week.
Our scripture reading for today comes from Psalm 42. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. While all day long, people say to me, "Where is your God?" I remember this as I pour out my heart, how I walked with many, leading the festive procession to the house of God with joyful and thankful shouts. Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. I am deeply depressed. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your billows have swept over me. The Lord will send his faithful love by day. His song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about in sorrow because of the enemy's oppression? My adversaries taunt me, as if crushing my bones. While all day long they say to me, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Dear Father, when our pain is so deep that we can no longer see your light, help us to remember that your love is deep enough to meet us there. When your absence feels more tangible than your presence, help us to remember the days when we walked in your joy. Remind us that your loving kindness will be with us day after day, whether or not we feel it. When the waves threaten to drown us, calm the seas of turmoil in our soul. When praying is painful and the words won't come, may these songs become our prayers. Fill our hearts with your promises so that we never forget them. On the days we feel forsaken, may they carry us. May we put our hopeless hope in you, our Savior and our God. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. So if you know nothing else about Japan, you probably know the 16th, 17th century, there was a caste of warriors known as the samurai. And times changed, and so the samurai warriors were stripped of their role, their title, their place in society, and what was even taken away from them was their signature swords. They were stripped of their samurai swords. Now, what many of these samurais did, and this is why I love history, just because of the little nuggets of wisdom that you get from history. So these samurais, no longer able to become warriors, they became poets and musicians. And they developed their own musical instrument. It was cut from the base of a bamboo tree. It's called a shakuhachi, and it's basically a flute, but they developed this instrument not only to make music, but also they developed it was strong and sturdy and long, and they were able to use it as a weapon should they need to defend themselves. So I've often said, be very careful of the flautists among us. You just never know. They're kind of a sketchy bunch, right? So they would use this instrument not only to make music, but to protect themselves. Musicologists say that this is the only time in musical history that an instrument was developed not only as an instrument to play music, but as an implement to wage war. So we have right in the middle of the Bible, we have a book called the Book of Psalms. They're a book of prayers, of poems, of songs. And we often think of prayer as being something passive, something we do when we can't do anything else. I don't want you to think of prayer as passive. I want you to think prayer as something that's proactive, that can make a difference. In other words, we are given these psalms as tools to pray, not just because they're pretty, They are there for our protection. We can pray these things when we're in a particular situation and we don't know exactly how to pray. If we know we need to pray for character, there's Psalm 1 at our disposal, already there for us to use in defense of building a character. When we feel restless or we can't sleep, there's Psalm 4 teaching us how to combat a sleepless night. In Psalm 27, this is how to overcome fear. And Psalm 42 is how to pray, how to defend yourself when you feel depressed. Now, we're going to talk about depression this morning, and what I want to do, there are some of you in here who keenly feel depression. There are some of you who have never been depressed a day in your life. Let me encourage you, if that's you, if you've never been depressed, please don't be judgmental over those who do face depression. Because quite honestly, you don't know what you're talking about until you've experienced it for yourself, right? And there are many, many reasons to be depressed. Some of it is physiological. Sometimes things aren't working right in here in your brain. Sometimes depression is circumstantial, that there are events that are happening that are so overwhelming, it short circuits our emotional ability to handle that. And sometimes we face depression just because we're human. Just because there are seasons where everything is good, and there are seasons where it seems like nothing is good. In fact, I want to give you an outline for Psalm 42, which is the psalm of how to pray when we're depressed. But the best outline I could give you would be a visual. And so if you have your worship folder, you're going to find this on the inside of your worship folder. What I've done is I've depicted Psalm 42 in a cycle that anyone who's faced depression knows. There's times when you're really low, and there's times where you come up, and there's times when the bottom drops out again. In other words, this look at depression from Psalm 42 looks a lot like a roller coaster ride, doesn't it? So in 2008, in Staffordshire in England, there was a roller coaster that was demolished. Okay, it was called the Alton Towers roller coaster. It had been built in 1980, was demolished in 2008, so nearly 30 years of people riding this roller coaster. 42.7 million people rode this roller coaster in its history. As they demolished this roller coaster, under the area where the corkscrew is, you know, where the roller coaster does like this, they accessed a compartment that had been closed off for 30 years. And what they found was absolutely amazing. They found 247 cell phones. They found innumerable pairs of socks, or just single socks. They found a diamond ring. They found a prosthetic leg. And they found 10 pairs of underwear. I'm weighing my words very carefully what I'm going to say next. I just imagine somebody saying, "How do you enjoy that roller coaster ride?" "It was great, but can I tell you something? I had underwear when the ride started. I don't know what happened, but they're gone." Okay? So depression is this roller coaster ride, and we start losing things that seem valuable to us. And with depression, all you really can do sometimes is just ride the roller coaster. And so let's ride the roller coaster this morning through Psalm 42. And here's what I'm going to do. Each one of these troughs, I'm going to put a label on them, because these are the psalmist pictures, description of what depression looks like and what depression feels like. Okay, so look at the first trough. "As a deer longs for flowing streams, so I long for you, God." This picture of depression is one of dryness, of being dry. Now, here's where the delight is in the details. The psalmist, who I believe is David, he paints this picture of a desert scene. And he puts an animal in this scene. But notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, "as the camel longs for water." Why? Because a camel's built for the desert. A camel is almost impervious to dehydration. A camel is built to live in that environment. A deer is not. A deer is vulnerable. So when a person is depressed, they say, "I wasn't built for this." You're right. You weren't. You weren't built to live life depressed and by yourself. "But as the deer longs for water, so my soul thirsts for you." So Donald Whitney, who's a great writer on spiritual formation, he said there are three kinds of dryness that we can experience. Okay, and what I'm going to do is I go through these three. This is meant to be a self-diagnostic for you. I want you to figure out which one really describes you. And I should more accurately say these are three kinds of thirst that we can feel. Okay, the first is a thirst of an empty soul. The thirst of an empty soul. That you are trying everything you can to quench your thirst. It might be sex, it might be success, it might be accomplishment, it might be education. You're trying all these things, but quite honestly, they are just not quenching your thirst. And you know it, or maybe you are learning that. It's the thirst of an empty soul. Then there's the thirst of a dry soul. A dry soul knows where true water is found, in Christ. But because of disobedience or neglect or just forgetfulness, that soul is beginning to be more and more thirsty because it's not being satisfied in the one place that it can be satisfied, and that is Christ. So there's the thirst of the empty soul, the thirst of the dry soul. And the final category is the thirst of a satisfied soul, that you know Christ and you know Him as the living water. And you are completely satisfied, but you always crave more. You can never be too close to God. So this is between you and the Lord today. I mean, which category would you honestly put yourself in? Is it the thirst of an empty soul? Do you experience the thirst of a dry soul? And here's where we want to be, the thirst of a satisfied soul. This is where we should get to, all right? So, the psalmist says, as the deer pants for water, I thirst for you. This idea of depression being dryness, but then, and this often happens with depression, they come out of it for just a moment, all right? And here's what the psalmist says. Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise Him, my Savior and my God. So I see a couple of things here. If I could say one thing to these graduating seniors here, And I would say it to all of us, don't listen to your heart. That's the one piece of advice that we get from society. Hey, just listen to your heart. Let me say your heart is like a slow clock, okay? It'll be right, but only once every couple of days, right? That's the way a slow clock is. It's going to be right, but only for a short time and only once every couple of days. Instead of listening to your heart, you know what we need to do? We need to lead our heart. And that's exactly what the psalmist says here. You know, I'm down, I'm dry, I'm depressed. Instead of listening to his heart, he leads his heart. This next part of the prayer, he's talking to himself. Why, my soul, are you so depressed and dejected? Put your hope in God. So he's not listening to his heart, he's leading his heart. The second thing I would say with this is, you need worship when you least feel like worshiping. In fact, you need worship the most when you least feel like worshiping. I know this might surprise you. There are some times where I'm driving downtown on Sunday morning and go, I really don't feel like worshiping today. You know, and I have the insight. I go, the speaker's not that good, you know. And so when I feel that, I have to stop myself. I don't listen to my heart. I lead my heart. When I feel that way, that's actually when I need worship the most. And I discipline myself to worship until I start to experience that delight in worship, because that dryness I'm feeling needs to be quenched. So I hope you get it. This first trough here, this is depression as feeling of dryness, right? So he comes up for just a minute. He thinks, oh, I'm out of the woods. And then the bottom drops out again. Look at the second trough. I am deeply depressed. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan. Now, if you go on to read this passage, he talks about Jordan. He talks about Mount Mizar. These are places that we're unfamiliar with because they take place in another part of the world. The Bible would be so much easier to understand if it all happened around Catoosa. We would understand it, you know. Just north of the casino, here's what happened. We would get that. Not that any of you would know where the casino is, right? Right. So this is a little bit of a geography lesson. Jerusalem, the temple, and Israel runs more north to south than it does east and west. Jerusalem's down here, down south. That's where the temple was. That's where it believed God's presence dwelled. All the places mentioned here, Mount Mizar, are up here in the north. Basically, what the psalmist is saying is this: I feel really distant from God right now. So do you see that? There's depression pictured as dryness. Now depression is pictured as distance. Have you ever looked up at your life and go, I'm just not where I'm supposed to be? Or I'm not where I want to be. I want to be in Tulsa, but I feel like I'm in Timbuktu these days. And we feel a long, long way from God. Let me tell you two things. First of all, it's okay not to know where you are. It's okay to feel lost. Okay, don't try to suppress that. Just acknowledge it. I feel lost right now. And here's the second thing. Even though you might not know where you are, God never loses sight of you. You might not know where you are, but God knows where you are. And if the incarnation of Jesus Christ teaches us nothing else, it is this: that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That God so loved the world that He sent His only Son. That God is a seeking God. St. Francis of de Sales, he tells a story of a small statue being placed in a niche. Now, I'm going to do a little parenthesis here. I feel really funny saying niche, because I was raised in West Texas. We call it a niche. All right. But if I say niche, I'm going to get 20 emails this week saying it's pronounced niche. So I'm going to say niche this morning. You happy now? I'm just having this conversation with myself up here today. So this statue is placed in a niche. All right. And another statue starts speaking to this first statue and says, why are you there? Statue says, I don't know. The master put me here. Well, how long are you expected to stay there? I don't know. As long as the master sees fit to leave me here. Well, wouldn't you look better over there instead of where you are? Maybe. But that's not my decision to make. That's up to the master. Well, you can't even see the master from where you are. I know. But the master sees me. And that's all that matters. What I'm saying, we're going to talk here in just a minute about one of the benefits of depression. And believe it or not, there are benefits. Sometimes God may have you exactly where He wants you, even if it's not where you want to be. Wait right there for Him. He knows where you are. Trust Him, even if you don't like what's happening around you. So do you see, this is a picture of depression as dryness, a picture of depression as distance. Now, there's one more picture, but before I get there, I want to make a statement that all of us know. Emotions are exhausting, are they not? Emotions just wear us out, especially when we get inside of our own head. ESPN in 2007, I don't know how many of you remember this. I thought ESPN is out of creative programming ideas because they were holding the world championship for the rock, paper, scissors competition. I thought ESPN has used up all other avenues, but actually, at that time, in 2007, rock, paper, scissors was becoming a national phenomenon. Now, get this. If we were to play rock, paper, scissors in here today until we eliminated everyone and there was one winner, okay, there'd be a winner. Next week, we could do the same thing again. There'd be a different winner, okay? I imagine that we could probably do rock, paper, scissors every Sunday. Wouldn't that be fun one Sunday? We're just going to do that. We're going to do rock, paper, scissors on Sunday. You'll know I have run out of speaking ideas when we do that. But there'd be a different winner every week. What they began to notice in rock, paper, scissors competitions on that level is the same five or six people were winning every year. There's more than just random chance there. So these champions, they would memorize long sequences of their opponent's throws. They would learn about human psychology and how body posture gives way to what's happening in their mind, which might be a clue as to what they were going to throw. And the same five or six people were winning these championships year after year. But here's what the champions would say. At the end of rock, paper, scissors, that wasn't very physically demanding at all, they said at the end of a competition, we were exhausted. Emotions are just exhausting. Your emotions, carrying around the emotions of other people, it drains us. So why do I tell you all this? Because as we look at this depression cycle, in your worship folder, it goes like this: dryness, distance, and the last one is going to be feeling disowned. This is a little bit artificial. Here's what it really looks like. Dryness, distance, feeling disowned. And that last trough goes down deep because emotions are exhausting. So much so that the writer, look what he prays. And if you've ever been tempted to hold your thoughts back from God, this should be proof that we don't need to. Look at the third trough. I say to God, my rock, why have you forsaken me? You can't get much more honest than that. And so sitting where you are today, if you're feeling depressed, this is something that you can do battle with. You're not weak in the face of depression. You have a weapon here of prayer to begin to fight it. And if I were to give any counsel about depression, it would be this. First of all, depression is not a sin. Do you see any place in this psalm where the psalmist says, God, please forgive me for being depressed? Depression is not a sin. It's an emotion. It's a feeling. Sometimes it's a state of being. But it's not a sin. We live in a broken world where sometimes we will face depression. All right? So don't feel like, don't add to it by thinking that you've sinned just because you're feeling depressed. Also, know where to go with your depression. You don't have to bottle it all up. You certainly don't have to pretend it isn't there. You can be who you are and who you really are and confess who you want to be in the presence of God. Now I will give you one benefit of depression. And I would say this is a benefit that we have in any time we experience weakness in our lives. Depression creates an opportunity for us to form an intimacy with God that only develops when we become dependent on Him. I'm going to try to say that again, and I'm trying to say that well. Have you ever been sick and somebody took care of you, and on the other side of that, you felt a stronger tie with that person because they were there at a very difficult time? The opportunity of depression. Depression creates the opportunity for you to form an intimacy with God that only develops when you learn how to be dependent on Him. In other words, you won't want to go through depression again, but once you have, once you're on the other side of it, you'll say, God, I never want to go through that again, but thank you for the intimacy that's been created between us because of it. So there's an old story of a ship at sea. Back in the 1800s, sailing vessels, the pilot was up going through the storm. The crew and the rest of the passengers, they were down below in the hold just feeling the boat rock and sway and reel and roll and seeing water begin to splash in. They were becoming terrified. One passenger went up to the top, popped open the hatch, and just for a moment he saw the pilot. The pilot was there at the wheel of the vessel. In fact, he had tied a rope around himself, around the wheel, so he would not be washed overboard. And he looked at the passenger, and just for 2 seconds, they locked eyes. Passenger didn't go any further, went down below, popped the lid shut, went and told the other passengers. He said, friends, I've seen the face of the pilot. All is well. In that one moment, he saw the confidence of the pilot. And yeah, the storm was bad, but the pilot knew exactly what he was doing. Friends, I want you to know, I have seen the face of the pilot. All is well. I want you to be able to say that too, that you have seen the face of the pilot. And all is well. Whether we experience dryness or distance or feeling like we've been disowned, those are feelings. They will come and they will go, but the truth remains. In fact, Jesus would talk to a woman in the New Testament, a woman at a well, a woman with a past, a woman who I think was probably depressed, and she tried to fill that with empty relationships. She had that thirst of an empty soul, and she tried marriage after marriage after marriage, and it didn't work. And Jesus said, if you knew who asked you for a drink of water, you would ask Him, and He would give you living water. Not only would you be satisfied, but water would well up in you and feed so many other lives. And so I come back to this. Is your soul empty? Jesus is the water of life. Is your soul dry? Jesus is the water of life. Is your soul satisfied in Him? Don't ever forget, Jesus is the water of life, and he quenches our thirst for all eternity. See the face of the pilot. All is well. Let's stand together and let's pray together today. Father, sometimes we just need to ride the roller coaster. Sometimes we just need to ride the waves. Sometimes we need to lead our heart and soul more than we listen to our heart and soul. And we do so from your word. So I pray for those in here today who are dealing with depression, would you use Psalm 42 as a touchstone, as a place to go, and a way to lean on you, words to articulate sometimes the inaudible expressions of our soul. For those who haven't dealt with depression, bless them, Father, and if there comes a day that they deal with it, may we bring our every emotion to you for your care. Help all of us to discover that for our thirst, there is only one who gives the water of life. And like the deer pants for water, may we always thirst for you. Jesus, it is in your name that we offer our prayer, our praise, and this psalm as we sing it back to you. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of each worship service on Sunday morning, I offer a simple blessing, and I offer that blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, and may God grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.